join us today. I literally envision some people getting off this webinar and creating their admitted student surveys on the fly, which is totally fine. And you're going to hear us totally encourage that. I'm just trying to click to my button that allows me to share. What do you do when your Zoom bar is, oh, there you go. You can move your Zoom bar. Okay. All right, here we go. So greetings. For those of you that I don't know, my name is Debbie Murphy. I'm ASAP's Director of Education and Member Relations. Really excited to be here with you today on this topic of essential elements of admitted student surveys. I am joined by Lisa Bunders, and I'm going to let Lisa introduce herself in just a moment, but really just want to jump right in to say, you know, congratulations, you've made it this far. You're going to make it. We're going to help you. We're here for you. These are the moments where things like surveys on one hand seem like the icing on the cake or the little extra. And on the other hand, we're going to tell you today that they are a critical part of your enrollment process and strategy and goal setting for the following year. And you don't want to go at this alone and try to guess or think. You think you know, and you think you've got good gut instincts, which typically do, on why families are choosing or not choosing your school. But it's critical to gather this data and use it to guide strategy. So actually to jump into this, you know, feet first and do it every year, no matter what. Lisa, why don't you introduce yourself for a moment, and then we'll jump right in into our presentation.
Great. Good afternoon, everyone. Lisa Bunders. I'm serving right now as a research consultant for ASAP. I am a former vice president for enrollment management in higher education. So certainly understand how important it is to ask questions of your constituents and to find out how to use the information that you gather in future strategic planning. So I'm happy to be here today to talk about some of the ideas that we have for that and ways that you can do that.
Great. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All right. So I don't think this is a surprise to any of you that you all understand what enrollment management is. And you know how important it is. Recruiting and retaining the right number and the right student is obviously paramount to the success of the school, financial health, image and quality. And because the environment is so competitive, a research approach is really necessary these days. Knowing how to recruitment, pricing, and academics impact enrollment, EM strives to put those things together. So enrollment management is trying to do many things at one time. And sometimes it's hard to know how to do that or how what you're doing is resonating. And so it's, you know, important to ask questions.
And just to reinforce a bit of what that previous slide said and what Lisa just said, really, it's really important to think of enrollment management as holistic. So none of these things happen in isolation of the other thing. Obviously, your data and research is going to drive your recruitment efforts. Your recruitment efforts are going to drive perhaps how you use financial aid as a strategy. Your academic program is going to drive your retention. And if your program is strong, your retention is going to be higher. And then your marketing is going to be driven by, you know, retention and data and research and recruitment and all of these pieces. So always think of them in conjunction with one another, and how your data that you use and the research that you conduct is feeding into these other systems that are a really important part of the overall enrollment management.
So when you start with the end in mind, you think about the populations who you're working with. There's a population of admitted students who actually do enroll. And when you think about the questions that you might want to ask them, what are those questions? Perhaps they are, why did you choose to enroll at the school? What stood out? What's special about our school compared to others? And what problems are you looking to solve? So jobs to be done. Important to think about when you're looking at this group of students.
And then, you know, the other half of that admitted student survey coin is those who do not enroll. And while many people think, this is the group we really want answers from, and yes, they are, you also want answers from those families who enroll, because they're reinforcing your value proposition and what their perception and hopefully the reality of your school is for them. So it is important to have both of these surveys be sort of, you know, equally balanced as far as the information that you're receiving. But obviously, for those students who don't enroll, why did you choose not to enroll? What school are you actually attending next year? Because that's going to tell you a little bit. Or did you have concerns about affordability, about our program, about our diversity, about our, you know, fill in the blank. All of that information, again, is going to allow you to have hardcore information versus just a hunch about what's going on within your applicant pool and your school.
Debbie, I would reiterate that too. Too often we ask the question of people who don't come or don't buy our product or don't, but we don't figure out why people actually did choose us. And so I think the admitted students and those who enroll are just as important as those who don't.
Great. So this is sort of a self-explanatory slide, but, you know, what if you could actually make sure that you're not in this cycle of sort of having history repeat itself every year with kids who don't come for a certain reason, or families who do come, but then are disillusioned because it wasn't what they thought they were going to be. So take the time to ask the questions that people have, you know, you'd then be able to demonstrate beyond your gut that an action or activity was impacting your enrollment success. And then you'd be able to have this data serve as a concrete tool that can really assist you in guiding strategy and perhaps shifting strategy for the future. So really important step to take that time to make sure that history doesn't repeat itself and things don't continue to play out. All right, let's talk about admitted student surveys. We're going to cover today the what, the why, the when, the how, and hope to give you a little toolbox to head off with today. I don't know how many of you joined us late, but I said at the beginning, I have a feeling because of the timing of this webinar and the time of year that it is, and the large number of people that are attending, that some of you might literally have SurveyMonkey open and be creating your surveys as you go, which is totally fine and something that we would encourage you to do.
Okay, so we want to get you involved a little bit here, and we're going to have you start thinking about the questions you might ask. So when you think about the accepted students who enrolled and those who did not enroll, what do you want to learn about them? What question would you have? What is top of mind? We're going to give you an opportunity to record that. And then it's something that we will share. So then you will have sort of a toolbox of questions to choose from when you're beginning to write your own survey. So if you go into the chat, you will find your opportunity to share. We'll give you a few seconds to do that.
All right, so I put a Padlet link in the chat. For those of you that have not used Padlet before, it's a big virtual whiteboard. There's a little plus sign in the bottom right-hand corner, and you can click on that, and then you don't even need to title it. You can just type in your question. And just to repeat the assignment, this is, you know, what's on your mind when it comes to your admitted students, those who enrolled and those who didn't enroll? What questions would you like answered? What are your problems that you're trying to solve within your own school or your enrollment that you need to have a little insight into and answers to? Hopefully everybody's accessing the Padlet. I will then share my screen and show the Padlet so you can see each other's responses. And we will also just download this and share this with everybody at the end so that you can get a sense of, oh, wow, that person wrote a good question. I want to make sure I include that on our survey as well. And hopefully, you know, learn a little bit from each other. So again, let me share my screen and go to our Padlet and Hopefully you can all see the Padlet right now and see a bit of the writing that's going on. And I'm just going to call off some. We won't spend a ton of time on this, but obviously, you know, why did you choose our school over another school, or vice versa? Why did you choose another school over us? Who made the decision to enroll, the child, the parent, or both? How were our admission events compared to other schools? What impacted your decision not to enroll? Did your child have a first choice before starting the application process? What admission events were most useful, least useful? So again, there's no magic to a set number of questions or a set topic that you're asking about. You do want to keep the end in mind and cover this first. What are you looking to know? And then how do you design questions that will help you get at some of that information? So some of you may find, you know, asking about events is not terribly helpful, and I really don't want it to be about that. Others may find, yes, that's critical to, you know, I've seen a good question on surveys about, you know, was there a particular event or experience that helped you learn most about our school's value and mission? And actually tying it to that is kind of helpful as well. All right, I'm going to stop sharing this. Again, I will download this and send this to you so you can all see each other's responses. And we'll go right back to our PowerPoint presentation.
Great questions. Yeah, they looked good.
All right, so the why, you know, why did you enroll? Why did you not enroll? Why do we do these surveys in the first place? You want to be able to have hard data. Many admission directors find themselves in the position constantly of saying, you know, well, we think they're not coming because of this, or my gut instincts, which are usually very accurate, are this. But isn't it stronger to be able to say 87% of our families who did not enroll shared that they could not afford the tuition? We have an affordability issue that we really need to think about, much stronger than I'm sensing that our school feels too expensive for people and our tuition feels so high. You can also, you know, improve internal operations with some of the feedback. You can provide information to help you with your future enrollment planning and goals. You might shift some of your strategies. You might shift your marketing strategies. You might market differently or in different places. And then finally, you can, you know, really be responsive to your customers. Instead of thinking that we know what they want and why they're doing what they're doing, we're actually asking them and then assuring that our marketing and our program are aligned with what our customers' needs and wants are. You always want to ask yourself that question: are you relevant? Is your school offering a product and program that families are looking for? And I know that's a hard question to ask, and some of you are thinking, holy moly, like that could just put us out of business. But it's a really important question to ask as far as schools being relevant and programs being relevant and aligned with what the products that families are purchasing. Just go to the next slide here.
Okay, we can talk quickly about timing now. Timing is really important with these types of surveys. If you think about it, families who don't enroll really owe you nothing because they have said they're not coming, but they are much more likely to help you in data recording if you talk to them pretty quickly and right away. So you want to send a survey or be prepared to send the survey at the time of admittance or denial. And that your respondents rate will be much, much higher if you do that within 1 to 2 weeks. And of course, an automatic process is helpful if you have a CRM or a process that could be done within your operations, that makes it much easier. And then analysis, really, you wanna wait until you have a critical mass, but definitely before you start building the next recruitment or a strategic enrollment plan for the next year, because you obviously wanna use that feedback in your planning.
Someone asked the question of just return rate. It's it can be all over the place, but honestly, with the groups that are really warmed to your school and familiar with your school and enrolling, you ideally want to see a return rate of higher than 50%. So great to think, 50% of those enrolling families are going to actually, respond to your survey. With the non-enrolling families, anything above 20% for just a regular survey is a high, is a good, I shouldn't say high, but is a solid return rate. So focus on getting, more than 20%. And again, this is where timing comes into play. Some schools tell me that they wait until the summer and they do these surveys in the summer, and it's, 3 or 4 months after the families have not enrolled, and you'll find that you get a better response rate if you can send these out quickly within a couple of weeks of families telling you that they're not coming.
Mm-hmm. How you can do this? Obviously, you can build a Survey Monkey, a short survey, less than 10 minutes, the least amount of time it takes a family to finish it, the better off you are. Make sure you're only asking one question per question. Too many times we ask a few questions because we want to all get it all in and we want to know everything we can. And sometimes you just have to be very clear about the one question you want to know. Multiple choice versus open-ended questions will definitely make the analysis much easier. Make sure it's personalized to your school, of course, and then thank them for their time. Thank the respondents. Sometimes, especially with admitted students or enrolling students, it's nice also to close the feedback loop and to be able to present something to the families about what they said to you. Or if you're if you don't have those tools or those things at your fingertips, ASAP can do these for you. We do them for institutions and schools right now, and be happy to help.
All right, and we also had a question about statistical significance when you have a very small pool or a very small school. And again, we would encourage you to still do these surveys, even though the numbers might be small, and to make sure that you're doing them year over year, because over 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, if you had five families reply to the survey each year, you then have 20, 25 families and data. And that's when you can see, are there trends? Was this an anomaly? So it's encouraged, even though your numbers are small, go ahead as you're reporting back and say, you always use a percentage. So we had 5 out of 10 non-enrolling families return the survey, which is a 50%. And here's what we learned, even though five families, it's hard to make big sweeping change based upon the comments of five families. And then someone else asks here, do you give out a survey link to people who don't come? It seems hard to ask them. Usually we just email them 1 to 2 questions, which schools they choose and why, but we can't get much info. I encourage you to keep that survey as short as possible, but to send an actual survey link and see if you can get them to respond, so that you can just have a little bit more trackable, consistent data. And most importantly, you can use that same survey every year to send out to them.
I think as long as the family hasn't had a horrible experience with your school, it's acceptable to ask them for their feedback, as long as it's done in a timely manner, respectfully. I think that you can expect them to help you out.
Okay. We started to build some sample questions here. And we're going to give you kind of some examples of this, but many of these are similar to the ones that you all were posting. And again, you want to determine in advance, are these questions that are important to us and that we would actually be able to take and build upon. James, great question. We mentioned actionable. Watch what you're asking. And if you can't follow up in some way, you need to either not ask the question in the first place or be really clear on why you're gathering that information. Some of this isn't actionable as if like you can act on it tomorrow. But if that, for instance, that financial aid question comes up often enough that you as the enrollment director begin to have data to say, I have to take this to the board and I have to present this to my head because we're starting to see a trend in this area. And I believe this is something we should look at. That's what we mean by actionable, something that you know, really can be considered on a higher level if it needs to. And you're advocating on one hand, but you're also just the messenger. You're passing along this data. And it's your responsibility as an admission and enrollment professional to actually pass along this data and to keep your foot in both worlds, that external world and that internal world, while providing a lot of linkage between the two. All right. So a question that surveys often start with, and a good one that can give you off the bat some pretty important information, is, you know, how important were, and then a list of characteristics in guiding your decision in choosing a school. So it's just any school as you began your school search. And I've seen this question phrased in different ways, but how important were these characteristics as you set off and began your school search? And then you take that same exact set of characteristics and you ask them to rate their impressions of the quality of these characteristics at your school. You'd be surprised how you get this overlay that shows you that, wow, when they were rating the characteristics, you know, that were important to them, academic program was extremely important and athletics was not important at all. And arts was extremely important. And then they rate your school and you see that they're rating the academic program a little lower. And in fact, we know that that was something that was extremely important to them. So what's that all about and how can you dig into that? So you see this overlay of what they value and how they rate your school. And it's not always, you know, stark, but there are little nuances here and there that will help you dig stuff out as far as, you know, perception versus reality. Lisa, are you jumping in here? I'll jump in here.
I'll jump in.
Okay.
One of the other things is that too many times, and I think you all know this, it's happened to me in my career as well. Too many times we do an analysis or do a survey, we gather the data, and then it just sort of sits on the shelf in a binder. So if you're going to take the time to do the survey, do the analysis. If you take the time to do the analysis, use the results and use the research to help you build a narrative that will tell a story to the people who you need to tell a story to your head of school, to your team, to the board, whomever you need to tell a narrative to. We've included a few ideas on how you can do your analysis, and Debbie's going to go over, I think, these ideas for you.
Yeah, so you can use, you know, charts. I mean, this chart has numbers on it, but it might just literally be by grade level, number who applied, number who enrolled by gender, number who applied, number who enrolled. This is a really clear way to show based upon the survey, you know, number who applied, number who applied for financial aid, a really good visual. This is a bar chart that has folks rating the quality of each of their interactions with the school and with the admission office. So their tour, the green, the dark green says very satisfied. The purple means NA. They didn't actually interact with the school in that way. And then, you know, the lighter green in this case means not as satisfied, but it gives you a quick glimpse of, wow, you know, people were very satisfied with their tour, very satisfied with their, you know, in-person admission visit. So that's an easy way to sort of display information. This is a little more complicated, but it gives you some really good information. And this is actually what I was referring to with that previous chart, in that it overlays the characteristics that were important when choosing a school with the impression of your school. So the bottom scale is importance a factor, and the, I'm forgetting my X and Y axis, Y goes up, right? So the Y axis is the impression of your school. So just to analyze this a little bit for you, and these are the types of analysis that someone in your office might be able to do, that we do certainly at ASAP when we take over your surveys for you. The two green dots in the upper right quadrant are academic program and individualized attention. And that means that they were rated high on important and high as an impression of your school. So those dots in that upper right quadrant are all the dots that were rated high and are important to families, and they rated them high at the school. The two green dots over to the left of the screen are rated high as impression of your school, but are not as important to families. And these two dots are legacy connection and transportation. So again, the school was rated high in those areas, but those aren't necessarily factors that are super important to families as they're looking at schools. And then I'm sure you can guess this one dot in the middle that's rated higher as an importance factor, but lower in terms of impression. Go ahead and put in the chat box what we think that dot refers to. I'm sure someone can guess that, or you've seen this. It's important, but your school rates lower on it. Correct. Thank you, Eric Brunt. Affordability. And good guess for diversity, which is another one that falls in that area. So this is very telling. This is overlaying those two first questions where you ask families to rate characteristics and then ask them to rate them at your school, and gives you some good answers. As well, this can be done multiple years in a row, and you can use a different color dot and see perhaps how you're able to shift those perceptions and those realities over the years. And then finally, there's some really fun creative analysis that you can do. So if you happen to ask the question on your survey, you know, three words to describe your ideal school, and then you put those words into a word cloud, obviously the many families that filled out this survey, academic was their ideal school, diverse was their ideal school, community was their ideal school, inclusive, warm, arts is rated very high. And then, you know, three words to describe our school. And then, they describe our school as high in community, but they describe our school as traditional and athletic when they were looking for something that in an ideal school that was more artistic. They describe our school as religious. And though we are a Catholic school, we don't necessarily see ourselves or pitch ourselves as very religious. And yet that's clearly coming out for families when they think about our school. Again, very telling and kind of an interesting visual and fun visual to allow you to see what people are perceiving versus what they actually value and are looking for in a school. I can't remember if this was me or Lisa.
It's you.
Okay. So I know we've said this a couple of times, but you want to make sure that you take the time to collect the data, to analyze the data, and then to reflect the data and back to critical people on campus. So obviously starting with your head of school and your board, and working this data into your board reports on a regular basis is really important. And, you know, as well, it helps you establish your leadership as an admission and enrollment professional and your grasp and understanding of the data and research that you're doing. And it falls under your responsibility to really be the person who's, again, sort of bridging that inside world, outside world with analyzing and sharing this data. You also want to make sure that you do this now in the season or shortly after you receive your responses, because as you begin to think about your enrollment planning, goals, strategies, marketing plan for the following year, you'll be able to use some of this data to slightly shift and tweak that strategy. Hopefully it will reveal at least one aha moment for you to allow you to say, huh, that was really interesting. I don't know that we've ever really thought about that before. So again, just making sure that you keep in mind at all times why you're doing it and then how to actually incorporate this data back into your planning.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I've done these surveys and I'm surprised by some of the outcomes, because we are sure we know what our constituents are seeing and thinking about us. And sometimes, you know, we're way off base. But we know that demographics aren't favorable. The environment continues to be competitive. And so now it's more important than ever to ask these questions of your students and families who don't come and who do come. So don't miss this opportunity to get valuable feedback and input. Start small. If you only implement this one small survey with either the non-enrollees or the enrollees, start small and see how your return rate is. Take a look at the analysis, see if there's anything surprising. There's a reason the students aren't enrolling, reason they are. Now's time to find out. Sometimes we think we know what's important. Any feedback, sometimes even negative feedback, is helpful when we build our next enrollment plan. And then as soon as possible, fold in the exit survey for students who leave the school so that you can figure out what's happening and why they are choosing to move on.
Yeah, and that's a really important one, and probably even harder to have families fill out and respond to, because you're sensitive to perhaps some of the difficulty of communicating with those families who have left the school. But even with that survey, whether it's a qualitative survey where someone is having a brief conversation, or you're quantitatively tracking the data attached to that family, you're going to want to know with attrition and those families leaving your school, was there a particular grade level? Was there, was it more families on financial aid versus families on not financial aid? Was it, girls or boys? All of that you want to track and make sure that even without the family giving you input, there's information you can track again. And until you take a step back and you see it in a data spreadsheet, you say, wow, we are losing, 80% of the students we lost were from middle school, and 90% of them were girls. So that's gonna, until you can put that data into numbers, those hunches into numbers, you really can't be as effective. So how do you reach families who apply through an agency or educational consultant? I would only hope that those families have given you their information, their personal information as applicants. And actually you can reach out to them directly and not have to go through the educational consultant or agency. But I'm happy to hear more about that if you really don't have contact information for those families or to work through the agency or educational consultant. Okay. We just gave you a lot of information. We are happy to answer questions. We're happy for people to unmute themselves and share their own experience with these surveys. If you've been at a school that does this really well, and you're now at a new school, and you say, you know, my previous school did X, Y, and Z, and I'm working to implement that at my current school. If you have more general questions for us or for each other, let's hear it. And people can either use the chat box if they're more comfortable, or just simply unmute yourself, but eager to be as helpful as we can at this point in time. Yeah, so thank you, Leslie. ASAP actually works with you to create these surveys and customize the surveys to your school. And then we provide the SurveyMonkey link. We are very clear with the families that they are coming back to us. So there is some nice space between you and the families, because they're not coming back directly to you. And you send out the survey link because we know that they are familiar to you and that they will hopefully open your email when they receive it from you. But all the results come to us, and we then, similar to that scattergram with all the dots, we then provide that type of analysis where we're reflecting back for you the types of things that families shared, what they value, what they're looking for, how your school fell into that equation. So it's sort of a full service survey operation, but working with you as the admission professional to make sure the questions, sometimes I've worked with folks and they've said, oh, we really like want a question about our preschool program and why families are choosing or not choosing our preschool in relation to other preschools in the area. And, you know, it's a very specific question to that school. And obviously we're happy to add that in. So. I'll provide as a resource for this webinar, a sample survey. One of the ones that ASAP does, just a sample survey. Lindsay.
Hi there. I wanted to offer something that was shared with me, I guess, this fall that I found helpful, which is as we look at families of color in the process, if we really want to better understand their experience, for many of our schools, we are in schools that are majority white. And to add a demographic question that obviously could be optional, but for families to identify that piece can help kind of actually look and drill down a little bit differently with that DEI lens, which was not something that we've done in the past and something that we're gonna do moving forward. So I just wanted to offer that to others as you're building surveys, if it's the first time you're doing it.
Thank you. Any other Debbie? General? Yes, jump right
Debbie.
In.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Gia, I'm from Mulgrave School, Vancouver. So on your slides, you mentioned that, you know, it's great to start from one and slowly build on the surveys. So let's put it aside and say a school has all the capacity to deliver multiple surveys. And what are the major milestones that you want to definitely have surveys on? For example, you know, attrition could be one. You know, what are the couple of, you know, major ones you think a school need to have those in place?
Yeah, great question. And I'm going to give kind of an off the top of my head answer, and then I'm going to let Lisa jump in because this is really her wheelhouse is surveys and research and data. But the probably for me, the top, you know, five that jump off the page are obviously that admitted students who enroll, admitted students who don't enroll, the exit survey or the attrition survey for families who leave the school. Often we encourage schools to do an annual sort of parent satisfaction survey to get a sense of, again, you know, why families are, you don't have to call it a parent satisfaction survey, it's what we call it, but some other title for sharing externally, but why families are choosing your school, and essentially it's that re-enrollment question, why they are choosing and continue to choose your school, you know, every year. And so you want to ask some questions in that one. And then a fifth survey that, you know, I think is really helpful is, and this can be more qualitative, but taking the time in the first month of school to meet with new families, new parents, to talk about not only the admission process, because those are the ones who have been through it and they'll fill out your enrolling survey. But at that point, it's the onboarding process and how they are feeling, how they are doing. It can be very powerful to have that connection with new families in September or October, and can serve as a potential retention tool as well, if any of those families early on are really at risk of not being happy. So that would probably be my fifth in terms of the top five. Some schools are very good at doing a young alumni survey. So for students who have just graduated, depending on the age of your population, but getting a sense of the outcomes, sort of what they gained from their education and what the outcomes of your, a lot of schools sometimes refer to it as that profile of a graduate. You know, what does the graduate look like? And how can those students through surveys help you create that profile of a graduate? So that's maybe one other that I'd throw in there. Lisa, anything that I missed or something that you'd recommend?
No, the only thing if you don't have a lot of resource, I think the non-enrolled students, as well as the parent and family satisfaction of your current student body, would be great to have in 1 year. And somebody asked about Survey Tool. I think SurveyMonkey is fine. We use it at ASAP and it works relatively well. It's user-friendly. But I think anything that you can collect and analyze is a good survey tool.
Yeah. Does anyone else have experience with a survey tool that has been user-friendly and fairly easy? Is there something that we're missing? That's a good question. Can you talk a bit about net promoter scores with current parents? So I am a fan of asking some sort of question on that survey for current parents that says something like, you know, would you recommend the school to a friend, or would you enroll all over again if you are enrolling, and it's the scale of 1 to 10, and then you can share that, you know, 97% of your families gave the school a score of 10 on the question of recommending to a friend. So it is an easy sort of quantifiable way to get at some of that in sales language, truly that net promoter score, the importance of that net promoter score. Lindsay, do you have a more specific question? Is it whether to have one or not, or how to use that or not? What is it, something more specific about the net promoter score?
Well, I guess it's something we tried to kick off last year, and we did it not as part of a huge current parent satisfaction survey, but more as a much smaller pulse check, and had talked about doing it, you know, once or twice a year, actually, in a way that was not going to take more than 3 to 5 minutes of a parent to really just keep our fingers on the pulse. And I found that when we went to do it, we were certainly trying to partner and bring along a couple of board members, and it got complicated because people were bringing in different perspectives, where we really were trying to do like a quick snapshot pulse check. So I was curious more in terms of if you've seen some kind of net, you know, one of these done in like really quick one or two questions that you can get high response rates on a regular basis to really be monitoring the health of your parent body without having these cumbersome 15, 20 minute surveys, which are important to do, but harder to pull off year to year sometimes. So I was curious about that.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a pulse survey.
Yeah.
More of a pulse survey that you're asking about. And I would love to hear from anyone. Does anyone do that? And I know Lindsay also asked a question that I'd love for others to weigh in on as well. What's the best time of year to do those current parent surveys? Honestly, in my work with schools, I have found that early fall. So when everyone's still happy and, October-ish, maybe even just right after parents' weekend or family day, if you have a day like that, because as we all know, you want to have that information before you start the re-enrollment process. Mm-hmm. So you do want to use these surveys fairly strategically as far as not only taking information in, but pumping information out. Mm-hmm. So it's a statement about, you know, your school and how the school's doing. I'd love for Viv or Joyce, if you have a comment to share in relation to this timing and pulse survey conversation, or maybe you have separate questions.
No, I was just wondering about the Net Promoter thing. I just feel like, does it feel very corporate for schools to use that? Because I get one every time I fly an airline or purchase anything online and I don't care anymore. And I just wonder, it's quick and easy, but I also just delete them. And so I just wonder if schools are using them, if they get responses, because it just feels not schooly.
Yeah. Anyone want to chime in on that? And are other schools doing that type of question? You know, would you recommend the school to a friend? Highly likely, unlikely. Lindsay, am I phrasing it correctly? How are you asking the question?
No, I'm going to go back and pull it out because we did it last fall. We haven't followed up on it. I liked your idea of coupling it with something else. So I'm wondering if, because I hear what was just shared by a colleague. I do think there's a lot you can get out of it, but I wonder if after conferences or something where you couple it, I liked your suggestion, Debbie, of coupling that question with something more meaningful. But I'm wondering if there are moments in the year that could be a quick follow-up to conferences or something that has happened where you are looking for some of that feedback. Data collection that you pair it with. So it feels meaningful. I do think parents are more invested in their kids' schools than some of the other things, and we can get a lot out of it. But I like the idea of coupling it with something that is going to, that parents are going to care about beyond the kind of salesy piece.
Great. And Kimberly English, Kimberly shared that they do a lot of student parents pulse surveys. So Kimberly, would you be willing to unmute yourself and tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I've been having issues. Yeah. A lot like food satisfaction, mental health check-in. Those are mostly for the kids. And then, we've done some big constituent surveys like every 5 years where alumni is at and stuff. But I would say the pulse surveys, especially over COVID, were almost to the point the kids are like, I'm so sick of surveys. I'd say twice a year for sure. For the kids, it was food because that's come up a lot. Health and well-being, stuff like that. Parents, how's their satisfaction with the school? How are they? Are they satisfied with faculty? Do they feel their child has someone to go to bat for them? Stuff like that. We don't do surveys, which is why I've tried to create for the whole app, and that's not done by the enrollment office. That's done by the marketing, and so admissions at this point hasn't done any surveys. So.
Yeah, but I like what you just said, and I know through the pandemic was particularly helpful. This idea of a pulse survey, just getting a quick pulse and making it super easy for families to reply to. I mean, literally one question, maybe one or two questions. Not you know, not having the same goals in mind or objectives or outcomes in mind as maybe the bigger parent satisfaction survey, but providing some quick and easy information. It can be really, I think, impactful. There was another question about do you recommend that admission officers do these surveys or division heads and principals? Super important to have your division heads and principals part of this process in terms of either making sure that your questions that you're asking are aligned with their vision for the department and what they're trying to learn more about. Whether it's who's doing it, whether it's who's sending it, it doesn't really make a difference. We've worked at ASAP and survey creation for some fairly small schools, and the head of school wants to have it go out from them and have the link go out from them. So again, however you feel it is best to communicate how valuable this information is, how grateful you are to your families for participating, and the importance of this, if having your head of school or a division head or the admission director will get you those outcomes, then you know your school best. And but certainly I've seen it sent out from all three of those, you know, different people.
Debbie, this is Joyce Ballack from Santa Barbara. And I asked that question specifically in relationship to the fall, maybe the coffee that you're offering your incoming families that just enrolled. Do you recommend that be done by the admission office or the division heads?
I recommend that be a joint effort between the division heads and the admission office. Okay. So I think in the absence of the division heads, you might find yourself taking in a lot of information about academic program and students transition to their class that you will then have to pass along. But if it was just simply with the division heads, I fear you as the admission professional would lose a lot of the opportunity to gather some really good information about families in terms of their transition to your school, and you know how that admission process and onboarding process and early weeks of school. Essentially, your question as an admission professional, once they have enrolled, is, are we delivering on the promise of a blank education? So that promise and that message and that value proposition that you were sharing throughout the admission process, you want to know from families, is your school delivering on that promise? Are we meeting your expectations that we shared with you early on?
Thank you.
Okay, so someone asked, does anyone offer incentives to complete surveys and to get a higher yield? Maybe for parent satisfaction surveys, would love to hear anybody just unmute themselves to that. Incentives, gift cards, swag. The other question linked to this is, should surveys be anonymous? So obviously, when you offer an incentive, you lose the anonymity. I always like the optional, you know, sharing your information. If we would like to follow up with you, you know, would you please share your information? This is optional, and you're certainly welcome to remain anonymous. But has anyone else come up with a great incentive? Ah, that's a nice one. Brooke shared that they did an incentive where we donated to a nonprofit for every response in a parent satisfaction survey at her old school. Great, love that. And then good question here about whether the survey goes to the student or the parent. Again, depending on your age group, I would not disqualify the student from being part of these why did you choose to enroll? Why did you choose not to enroll surveys? And, you know, sometimes the schools, the more sort of pre-K through ninth grade schools or pre-K through eighth grade schools, will ask a question at the beginning or at the end, who filled out this survey, whose decision was it to apply? And it's sort of more the student, more the parent, both. And families are usually pretty honest. I mean, a lot of times you see people say, like, the parents, this was my decision and the child did not, or the student. Again, if you're dealing with a high school population, I've seen these surveys go just to the student and not to the parents. And knowing that, I think the data shows that from about fifth grade on, the student has the majority of the weight in making the decision. In the earlier years, it's a little more balanced of 50-50. But once kids reach that middle school, fourth, fifth grade level, you really want to be marketing to them, and you really want to be treating them as part of your market research in terms of why they are choosing or not choosing your school.
I would just offer that we've done some early fall lunches with the new students in our fifth through eighth grade or sixth through eighth grade when we did it for exactly that reason, to get their feedback about the process and what that experience was like. And that was really helpful.
Great. Thank you. I completely agree with that.
Pizza is so much, such a good incentive.
Yeah. You know?
Offer some pizza.
All right. Other questions? Scanning through the chat box just to make sure we covered the big questions. I was going to share, as far as that surveying students, I worked with a large middle school in California I guess it was a 6th through 12th grade school. So hundreds of kids in the school, and probably 100 in each grade level. And they actually, as part of their advisory group in like October, had kids sit down and fill out a survey. They had every single faculty member listed on the survey, and they said, please click, you know, who you feel connected to. And it's probably phrased more eloquently than that. But every year that they'd been conducting this survey, they would find, you know, one or two or three kids who clicked no one or clicked one person. And they would swoop right in and have that moment to connect with that student and connect with that family. And, you know, it sounds very simple. And likewise, that school would take the same list of students and give it to the faculty and say, please click students who you connect with, or who you feel are known, is in your orbit, and get a bit of a you know, feedback on the other side. So it sounds really mechanical and prescriptive, but sometimes those simple things can help you early on. I like the one particularly for kids, you know, kids and their connection, because it really, you know, it really does make a difference. And I think depending on the age of the kids and the disposition of their personalities, sometimes you can really connect kids early on who just simply aren't feeling connected, you know, at that point. All right, we are right at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So happy to end on time, but and allow others to go off to other things. Let me just share as a wrap up a couple of things. I will post the slide deck as a resource, so you will have that. I will post a sample survey that ASAP can provide to all of you. I will post the Padlet as a PDF so that you can see what types of questions are on the minds of your colleagues and what types of questions they're asking. And I will share the link in the follow-up of ASAP survey service for those of you who want to go directly to that paid part of our website and learn more about that as an option. So I think I covered it, but just wanted to make sure. And obviously the recording will be available, and anybody who needs to watch the recording or share the recording with others at your school, you should feel free to do so. All right. I like to always say at this point, stay calm and enroll on. It is April 13th, somewhere out there. It may not be months or weeks of vacation, but there is like a little summer weekend or vacation or something coming for you. So keep going, you can do it. And I hope to see many of you in person at some of our local events soon, or in person in Chicago in July at our annual institute, because we are gonna be in person. That's all I can say. Take care. Thanks, everybody. And let us know if there's anything we can do to help through these next couple of months. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.